So what did you do? Did you do wrong or good?
Yeah, you elevated me.
This is Joseph. This is, by the way, why he cannot be a king. Because, you know, this guy is not real. After all what all his brother did to him all his life. And then, what is he doing? He's taking, if we look at the psukim, we'll see, it's unbelievable. He is buying everything for all the Egyptians, and at the end he buys them also. They're all slaves of Pharaoh. And they've got no property. Because he bought everything. Because they wanted to eat. He says, you want to eat? Money. Money finished? Cattle. Finished cattle? Your land. Finished land? Yourself. And then what did he do? He transferred them. Those who were living in Alexandria sent them to Cairo, from Cairo to there. He did a whole balagan. Why? Because now, when his brother are coming to Egypt, how would they feel? Would they feel stranger?
Yeah, no. So they won't feel this way they want. But he put them in a...
The way he did it, they won't feel more stranger than all the others. Because what he did, he made everybody...
Strange.
Strange. Everybody lived in a place but he wasn't born.
So he was a big ruler.
Oh, of course he was a big ruler. And he had the power. That's exactly the point. He had the power. He was a big ruler. And look how he behaved with his brother. Look what he did to Egypt. He could very easily find a way to get back to his brother a little. But he doesn't even think about this. His whole mind is, how do I make my brother, or let's say, how do I keep the pride of my brothers? And how do I keep the love? And he's doing it all his life. He's keeping them. He's giving them the best things he can. This is to understand who is Joseph. This is not just another guy. When the Torah says Yosef HaTzadik, our sages say Yosef HaTzadik, there are not all of figures that were called Tzadikim. And one of them is Yosef HaTzadik. The end of the parsha, we find out another unbelievable thing. The sons come to the father, to Yaakov, and they say, Father, Joseph is alive. What is the... How is Yaakov taking it? What is his reaction? Unbelievable. Let's look. In Perek Memhei, Pasuk 26.
Was it what?
26. Vayagidu lo le'emor. Got it?
Yeah.
Vayagidu lo le'emor. And they tell their father Yaakov, Od Yosef Chai. Joseph is alive, and that he rules over all the land of Egypt. Vayafog libo, and his heart fainted. What a reaction. Instead of being happy, it looks like he's taking it very hard. Why?
He's an old man.
Okay, we can say this. Abad, what is it said, Joen? Ki lo emin lahem. For he didn't believe them. What's going on here? First of all, if he doesn't believe them, what does it have to do with the condition of his heart? You don't believe, you don't believe, that's it. What? You lived for 22 years without Joseph, so now they come and lie to you, okay. So he says, I don't believe you, and that's it. What? Why was his reaction, first of all?
You thought they meant that he became like an Egyptian and not like a Jew.
In other words?
Assimilated.
What is it for him, good or bad?
Bad.
In other words, he lost.
Yeah. He failed in his chinuch.
Exactly, as we said last week, he failed. And here is the proof for his failure. They telling him Joseph is alive? Is this life? He controls Egypt? What does it mean? What is Egypt? Egypt is Bnei Barak. Egypt is not Bnei Barak.
Avodah Zarah.
Avodah Zarah, everything. Not only Avodah Zarah, all the worst things of the world. Idol worshipping, all the... You see, you have to understand, Egypt was the highlight of the culture, their culture, and all the joys of the world you could get there. And this young boy, the age he went there,
17.
What do you think? With his hormones working. And now they're telling me that he is the head of what? The head of the snake. The head of the tumor. He almost got a heart attack.
His fear was the fact that he reached this kind of pinnacle in the highlight of elevation. Is that, did he keep his mitzvot?
Of course. But
that's what's bothering him.
Of course.
He knows, not so much that he's alive now.
Doesn't care about it. That's not living. If you don't keep the mitzvahs, if you don't do it the right way, that's not living. That's being dead while you're alive. And it's even worse. He says, he would prefer him dead than be in this tumor. But then, Vayetabru elav et kol divrei Yosef, they tell him all what Joseph told them. Vayar et ha'agalot asher shalach Yosef laset oto. And he sees the wagons that Joseph sent to take him. And then, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem. The spirit of Jacob, the father, revived. Why?
Why? Mm-hmm. Was something in the wagons that he saw?
That's what the Torah is telling us. So what did he see?
He saw something.
Yes, what was it to see?
Something cautious, something...
Something in the wagons that he's been learning.
You see, when you say in Hebrew, agala, agala can be a wagon and it can be also a young calf. Egla. Egla arufa. You know what egla arufa is? When you find a dead body between two towns, two cities, you measure the distance between
who's responsible.
Who is responsible, and then they have to bring a calf and to slaughter it in the place where the guy was found dead. So egla can be agala and can be also a young calf.
Yeah. Okay.
Egel, agala. Okay. So what did he see? The wagons? Or what is carrying the wagons? The agalot, eglot. So there are a few explanations. First of all, there is a problem. Because when we look at the psukim before, we will find out that not Joseph is the one who is sending the wagons, but Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is telling Joseph, take your father and take the wagons to bring him. Then also, here we see, it's written, Vayar et ha'agalot asher shalach Yosef. So we start to understand that the message, there is a message here from Joseph, because Joseph is not the one who sent the wagons. Pharaoh did. So if the Torah is telling us that he saw what Joseph sent him, so there must be a lesson here. And what is the lesson? That me is not talking, not one explanation is he's not even talking about the wagon. He's talking about the calves that are carrying the wagon before, that which they are young calves, which is egla, and they remind him that when Joseph left, they were dealing in this sugiya of egla arufa, and Joseph remembers it, which means that he
is the same
as he was. Nevertheless, this is after Vaydabru Elav et Kol Divrei Yosef, after they told him all what Joseph told them and what they saw there, which is that not Egypt is controlling Joseph, but Joseph is controlling Egypt with his purity. He's still the same Joseph, keeping everything, going in the right way, not letting the bad influence of Egypt get to him. And this also reminds Yaakov what he went through. When he went in Lavan, im Lavan garti, v'taryag mitzvot shamarti, he said, he was living also
in the same
environment of tuma, impurity, and he kept the mitzvahs. And here he understands that not only that Joseph is still keeping what he has to keep, now it means that Jacob was successful in his education. As you remember, we talked about it, that he separated him from the brothers and gave him special teaching, special tools in order to, when he gets to a point where he's going to be with the goyim, with the tuma, that he will know how to handle it the same way as Jacob handled it with Lavan. And after they told him that a bad beast got him, and he was seeing that the bad beast is, let's say, bad things that are going to happen to him, and then they tell him now that Joseph lives in Egypt and he controls everything, he understood that I wasn't successful. I was a failure. Till he understands and realizes that on the contrary, he was so successful that Joseph went exactly through the procedure he went, and the tools he gave him helped him to go through it. And if you remember what the Midrash is saying, when he was going to do what she wanted him to do, what did he see?
His father's face.
I just wanted to quickly say that Eliyahu Cohen was severely punished because he didn't educate his sons with Derech Eretz in the service of the temple, because he had failed in bringing up his sons, giving him the right chinuch.
Eliyahu Cohen. Yeah.
So did Yaakov have the same fright?
Exactly. He had the same fright, and Baruch Hashem, he realized that it wasn't as he thought in the beginning, but
when he was sad about when they told him about Yosef, he was Yaakov. And when he was happy, realizing that he continued to be the same, it turns and Israel said.
Very good. By the way, it happens a few times in our parasha.
Yeah.
It's not the only time that Yaakov is being called Yaakov and Israel. And also here.
Yes, here.
Vatechi ruach Yaakov aviyem, vayomer Israel. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains, I'm writing about it on the page of the Shabbos. Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that every time the use is of Israel, it means that he is in a high level, high spiritual level. When it's Yaakov, it's a normal level or even hard situations or sadness. In other words, when we look and we see Israel, what does it mean? Very important. Yeah. Very high, spiritually. As you remember, we said the same thing when he educated Yaakov. Yaakov educated Joseph, and it's written in the beginning, Yaakov, El Todot Yaakov Yosef, and then, Ve'Yisrael Ahav et Yosef Yoter Mikol Echav. Again, to show us that it's not a simple love, it's a spiritual love. And here again, Vayomer Israel Rav od Yosef Nichai, Baruch Hashem, I was successful. And it elevated him in a minute, and he's Israel, it's not Yaakov. Because he was successful with the education, and it now when he realizes it, okay, my son Joseph is alive. To understand and realize, when we're talking about life, life is going in the good way. Otherwise, It's not life, it's death. So, Yaakov Avinu, Baruch Hashem, gets to an happy end, and everybody is together, and then they're going down to Egypt, all the family, and we see the names of all the tribes and the children's. What?
The
Asgard
is a whole chart.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
70 who descended to Egypt.
Yeah. There are a few problems with the counting here, but there are a lot of explanation about it. Okay, as we said, I don't know if you have any questions. Have you any questions? Did you look to the parsha before?
Just one thing. I don't
yes. Yes. Yeah.
How shall I say it? No. So, if the father failed to bring up his children the way they should be, then he would be punished. On the other hand, once you reach Bas Mitzvah or Bar Mitzvah, you are responsible for yourself. Your parents are not responsible anymore for you.
Yes.
So why do the parents get punished if they fail in the chinuch?
Because failing in the chinuch means you didn't do what you had to do, and you see the results then later. You don't have to see the results right now. You can see the results in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. So let's say if he was a small kid and didn't educate him in the right way, so whose fault is it? Your fault. So you have your obligation to educate your children. So that's the reason that when Yaakov saw that whatever he did was, like he thought, was not good enough. So it was his fault. He didn't give a good education. From the other side, of course, if you are after the Bar Mitzvah, you are responsible for yourself. But it doesn't mean that, you see, that's exactly the problem that was with Yaakov. Vayeshev, if you remember, says Vayeshev Yaakov. Bikesh lishev b'shalva, kafatz alav rugzo shel Yosef. He wanted to sit down and relax. And what happened? The whole story of Joseph. And to tell us what?
That you can't.
You cannot sit down. And the education doesn't finish. Never ever. You're not responsible maybe for the results, but you are responsible to educate your kids even when they are 30 and 40. You are still their father. So it's halachically, you can say, okay, I finished here. But it depends who you are. So if you are at a high level, you have to make sure that your children go in your way. And let's say, okay, he's over 13, so I don't care about him anymore.
No,
he can do whatever he wants to.
That's when trouble starts.
Exactly. So it doesn't mean that because he is responsible for what he does, that you finish your job. It's two different things. You have the job to educate your kids. Doesn't matter what age it is. From the other side, at the age of 13, you're responsible for yourself. So you cannot go and blame anybody else. Whatever you did, you're going to pay for it. But normally, it's a result of something. Of course, if you did whatever you could in order to educate your kid, and your kid, let's say, went in the wrong way, God knows it. It's no problem. You're not going to pay for something if you are not the one who is responsible. But if you are responsible, you're going to pay for it.
So in Judaism, what counts is not the results, but the effort you make.
Yes. You have to make the effort all the time to educate and to do good. And good starts from your family, not from the neighbors and not from those in the other next town. Good starts from your own family. The same way, if you have to give tzedakah. Some people give tzedakah to a yeshiva in New York, while they have people in their own town that haven't got money to eat, haven't got food. And for the other side, he's got relations. His cousin, his uncle, sometimes Chas v'Shalom, his son, hasn't got anything to eat. So you're going, what are you going to do with the tzedakah? Going to give it to somebody else? Aniyei ircha kodmim. Tzedakah, they say, matchila babayit. Tzedakah starts at home. Then you spread out. But first of all, you make sure that the people that are in your responsibility, your family, your closest friends, your community, your town, they are first before everybody else. And the same thing is with education. It's the same thing. You're not going to go and educate people on the other side of town. You educate your own family first. When is education start?
When you're born.
Even if you're before you're born.
Yeah, I know that.
When and when does it end?
Never.
Never. Exactly. Never. And that's a big lesson to say. But the Torah is telling us that there are stages. To the stage of 12 or 13, 12 of a girl and 13 of a boy, you are full responsible on what they do, and they are not responsible for what they do. But after the age of girl 12 and boy 13, they are responsible. They're going to pay for what they do. But it doesn't mean that you're not going to pay.
Why is it that girls are you earlier than boys?
Because they're mature earlier than the boys.
Smarter
than the boys, whatever. Whatever you want.
Like Hashem telling.
But if you look, by the way, that's real thing. If you look at the classes and you look at the girls and the boys at the age of 12 and 13, you see that the girls are more mature. That's what it's happening all around. That's the way it works. That's nature.
I could never understand. My family, a lot of them are conservative. And the kids are bar mitzvah. And the woman has to go up also to say the bracha. I could never say that, though. I resolve myself and my children. I can't understand how they could say it unless they just don't know what it means. That's awesome.
It's, you see, when you do things because you just want to show off or you want to do what he does, you want to be like him and not like yourself, so you do a lot of strange things. It's not, I always talk about it. Says you see people doing things, and sometimes you think to yourself, why do you need it? Did you do all the other things that you have to do? You did already that you're trying to do other things, but that's unfortunately it's becoming more and more normal,
acceptable.
But it doesn't mean if it's acceptable, it's right. That's why we have here and there to stop for a minute and look if what we're doing is right or wrong. And the only test is, think for yourself, is God going to love what I'm doing or not? And you'll have the answer. I've got nothing against women or men wanting to be more religion, more learning more. It's no problem, but our sages say, as I told you before, it's funny to talk about it, but like in two minutes, I had this argument, and this lady stops me in the middle of the street. You talked in shul and did this, that, about women not that they are inside and not outside, and this is being arrogant, this is a thing, and this is that, and you know, the only thing I wanted to say is like the power of what power have women got. But she turned all around was because she wants to be in front. So she wants to talk in front of men. She wants to do that. It says, our sages did things because they knew the nature of men and women, male and female, that there is a certain attraction between them. So he said, and I told her, if I see a nice girl standing in front of me in the middle of davening and talking, it distracts my thought.
On a woman looking at a man.
It can be the same thing. You see, it's not the same.
No.
It's not the same. And I'm not a scientist, but you can look, they are doing this research all the time. It's not the same. The influence of a woman on a man is not the same like a man on a woman. On women. That's the fact. You can check it.
We all look down, all the ladies look downstairs. I don't think any of us have ever looked at a man and thought anything bad.
So that's exactly the problem, because you don't understand the man, how he works. Mm-hmm. Now, what is she telling me? If a woman standing and talking has had an influence on you, go to the doctor. I said, if the woman didn't have an influence on me, then I would go to the doctor. I know that it's a strange world today. Men go with men and women with women. But still, the normal thing is that a woman has an influence on a man. And if it doesn't, the man has a problem. So I said, Baruch Hashem, I've got the problem. I don't have to go to a doctor. I think it's normal. I know that everything today is abnormal, but that's normal. And that's exactly the point. And you will see it, that there is always an interaction between when the men and women involved. Always. And there are ways to do it in the right way. And who is going to tell us how to do it? That's why we have our sages. They know better than us. Who are we to decide for them that they know exactly how the human body is built, how the thoughts and everything. They know more than us. And they knew, and they decided to separate men from women in certain places. Because they knew that if they don't do it, their interaction between men and women will cause bad things. And we all know this whole world is around money and sex and other things. And what I said is, like I said, one of the main things that the world works on. So, we know better? No. But that's unfortunately, today it's like it's a modern world and everybody wants to be like the others. But the real truth is it right or wrong? You decide. You do whatever you want. I know everybody knows what I think.
What gives me self-esteem and self-respect as a woman is Sarah said to Avram to send away Ishmael and his mother, and he didn't want to. So God said to Avram, you have to listen
exactly.
to your wife.
Exactly. And I'm talking about it all the time. I'm just showing everybody the Bible. Because some people have complaints. Why don't the women... They're not exactly in front of everything. They're always in the background. And I'm telling them that's exactly the power of the woman, of the women. And if you look and read it carefully, you will find out that in a lot of places, the more important decisions are being made by whom? By the women. So how can you talk badly of the Torah? Because you don't know how to read the Torah, it's your problem. Read it in the right way, understand what's written, and then you will find out the truth. And the truth is that everybody's got his own job. Men have their job, women have their job, and if everybody's doing his job, everybody's going to be happy. We don't need to do other people's job. It's not only between men and women. It's a coin is a coin, a lady is a lady, Israel is Israel. A clever guy is clever, the stupid is stupid. What can you do? We have rich, we have poor. Who decides about it? We. God decides. So if God made me a man and made you a woman, there is a reason. If God made the other guy, this guy rich and the other one poor, that's God. This one is more clever than the other. It's God. So what is my job? And the job you got is, according to what God gave you, you have to try to do the best.
Yeah.
That's all.
Teva kept pleading with Hashem, didn't he?
What?
Teva.
Yes,
Teva.
Bezrat Hashem, we should all go and when we read the parsha, we see how Yosef looked for the togetherness. And that's the main thing of everything. Men, women, children, let's say, even if I'm going to go far, Jews and Goyim, everybody.
He did punish them get even a little bit by sending them back to get Binyamin by putting the...
And you know, it's very interesting, very what you're saying, because you know, why did he do it? Because there is, he did it for the own benefit. Because he tried to punish them here. We haven't got the time now. It's the same way. Part of the punishment is that if you look, he gave Binyamin 5 times more than what he gave them. clothes, and then he gave him 300 shekels, which he didn't give them. There is an halacha, if you sell somebody, you have to pay, I don't know, 300 shekels for, so what he really did, he tried to punish them here in this world, so they won't get punished in the next world. Because punishment here is much easier than the punishment in the next world. Because here is only a limited time, but there it's forever. So if you look through, you will see that he is trying to pay them back for what they did. They put him in jail. What did he do? Take Shimon in jail. If you go through, it's a shiur by itself. Let's put it this way: to go through the procedure, and we'll see that Joseph is really trying to punish them, so they won't get punished in the next world. In other words, even this is doing from love, not from any other reason. If you know the Sfaradim, for example, before Yom Kippur, they do they bang themselves with lightly because the Arba Mitot Beidin, so they give it to themselves, so that it's going to be considered as they got the punishment in this world. It's minhagim, whatever. But the idea behind it is, you're better off getting punished here than getting punished in the next world. So even if you get punished, you should be happy. So this is like when you're saying about that he did a few, whatever he did was, again, from the point of view of love, in order to save them from punishment in the next world. Even this. Yo, shkoyech.
When David